Welcome back. It is hour number four, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Kind of humbled talking to both Cam Cole and Michael Farber back-to-back today, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo until 7 o'clock. Amanda Stein in Manhattan in about 30 minutes or so. Lorne Rubin, Sports Business. And just before we get to Michael, who's standing by, as promised, Garland Jeffries, New York City rock and roller. Great on stage. Last concert in Montreal at Club Soda, he sold it out. It's the 14 Steps to Harlem, his new album release concert. Tickets available at clubsoda.ca. You can also call 286-1010, 514-286-1010. We're going to pair tickets away every day this week on the show. The concert is Friday night, May the 5th at 8 p.m. First one through who can answer the question, which late rock and roll Hall of Famer did Garland Jeffries go to university with in upstate New York? I think it's upstate. Or maybe it's middle state. I don't know. We got to ask Michael here off the air. Ask him where it is. A notable university. 790-1690. Who was the late Rock and Roll Hall of Famer that Garland Jeffries met on campus at a well-known New York university? 790-1690. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Farber, how are you?
You know, great, and even better that you talked to Cam Cole, one of my favorite writers, one of my favorite people in the business. I couldn't be happier for him. It's well as he wrote hockey. He wrote golf. People were lucky to read him in the Gazette. One of the very best people I've been privileged to know, and a great road friend.
Well, I learned something today. I pointed out that he was sorely missed in the aftermath of Sergio Garcia winning the Masters. But as you know, he is enjoying retirement immensely, and he doesn't have to deal with 4 p.m. deadlines anymore. But I didn't realize that you and Cam Cole and Pierre Maguire played golf together at Mont Tremblant the day before 9/11.
That is true. That is true, yeah. And, you know, playing golf is not really what I do. Certainly what Cam does. He's real good, and Pierre is certainly better than I. But, yeah, it was, why was Cam here? The CFL, or I can't even remember. But Cam was one of the writers of a generation where the columnist mattered. It was before the era of specialization. It's the era I grew up with. If you were the columnist for the newspaper in your city, you were the voice. You were the one that people turned to for your opinion. You set the tone of the section, and indeed, in some cities, the paper. Now it's life has become specialized. Now we have your baseball columnists and your hockey columnists and what have you. But Cam is one of the last guys who could do it all, and he could do it all better than just about all of us.
Yeah, such an elegant writer, as you know, Michael. By the way, Syracuse University is where Garland Jeffries went to school and hung out with Lou Reed. So we do have a winner for the tickets. They are gone. We'll give away another pair tomorrow for his concert Friday, May the 5th at Club Soda. So, the Montreal Canadiens were 17 seconds away from being down 0-2 to the Rangers, and now all of a sudden, it feels like it's almost over, doesn't it?
Not to me, no. The Rangers don't play well at home. They play well on the road. These are things we knew beforehand. The Canadiens really can't play any better than they played in Game 3. When was the last time they played a game that complete? Help me out here.
Probably a few weeks ago at Madison Square against the Rangers.
Yeah, it's a while. They were essentially perfect. The Rangers were lousy. I thought, except, of course, for Lundqvist, who has been every bit as good as Carey Price in this series. He just hasn't had a whole lot of help. And, no, I don't sense it's over at all. I think the Rangers have a lot more to give. As much as we like to poke the bear and Chris Kreider, we really haven't seen him in the series. Nash hasn't done much. There's some good players there that we really haven't seen their best. And I expect it'll get even more competitive. So, no, I don't think the series is over at all.
I'm not suggesting it's over. I'm just saying after last night, it has the feel of, you know, the way they've just kind of You're a New Yorker, Michael.
I don't
recall a situation like this in my lifetime, which is, you know, 40 plus years covering hockey, and in this instance, particular hockey in the Stanley Cup final, where a really good team has so much trouble in their own rink. And it's not just this year. This is going back to the playoffs a couple of years. You know, the New York Times had a piece of it. They're trying to figure it out architecturally, the new design.
It's, you know, the blue bloods in the blue seats, different folks. It used to be the Blues in Madison Square Garden were the most entertaining show in the NHL. The fans, the gallery gods, and it'd be great fun in the press box. One of the press boxes there was just in front of the Blues. Now it's a completely different setup. You don't get that same atmosphere. But you could say that about Montreal and the Forum. And, you know, we're not in the Forum anymore, and maybe it's coincidence that the Canadians haven't won a Stanley Cup in the new rink. I prefer to think it's not. I think there are other elements. And, you know, we talk about stylistically, teams try to put a show on the at home and are less concerned with that on the road. Maybe there's an element of that. I think it's wildly overstated. The short answer is, Mitch, I don't have a clue. But it's something that happened. But don't sell the Rangers short. A couple years ago, they played one of the worst playoffs games I'd ever seen a team play. Now I'm trying to think who it was, and I think they went down either 2-1 or 3-1 in a series, and they looked absolutely finished. I think they had something like 12 shots and looked utterly disinterested. A home loss, and sure enough, they came back and won that series. So I know there are great emotional swings every night. You know, one night, Plekanec is, what's this guy doing? Next night, he's the hero. So just, you know, we'll take it a little bit easy.
I don't need to see more from him than I need to see from the rest of my group. I need the whole group to be better. Everyone in that room, to a man, knows that their game can be better and needs to be better.
And that's why they will be better. So Alain Vigneault, early on in a series, has called out Chris Kreider, and that followed that up today by he was asked specifically about Mika Zibanejad, and as you heard, the rest of his forward group mostly. And so whether they win or not, we obviously don't know, but it's hard to imagine they'll be any worse than they were last night.
Yeah, and something that jumped out at me, I don't think has been paid enough attention to from last night, is the work of Davidson on the third pair. Now, I only played 9 or 10 minutes, but he's doing something that Tom Gilbert had to do for a while, and that's play his offside. He's filling in on the right side for Nesterov. He's a left-handed shot. It was his first playoff game, and he didn't look lost. And I thought that was just terrific. Now, I know he's played both sides before, but really, to step into that circumstance, and it wasn't a friendly place to play. Certainly, it was in the third period when the fans turned on the Rangers. But I thought Davidson played great, and everyone's saying, well, why wasn't Davidson in the lineup in game two? It's essentially because he is a left shot, and he had to fill on the right side. But I really impressed by his results and the way he played. I thought he looked incredibly comfortable.
Award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber, part of the reporters on TSN. You're in Toronto right now. Are you on the Stanley Cup route or what?
No. I'm fighting my way through security. I just got through it. You know, it's really terrible when you have to put your belt on, back on in public. It, you know, you're missing a loop and... No, it's just horrible. No, I'm not following it. In fact, this week, I'm going to be in North Carolina visiting family. So I'll be taking in the Canadians long distance.
All right. But the Leafs and Capitals, of course, there are all kinds of reasons to be excited about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Some people are taking it to the next level already. I have a feeling they're in for a rude awakening tonight. That's just a feeling. What do you see?
Well, what I see is a really quick team. And where I see the Capitals is a team that is vulnerable to speed. Last year, Philadelphia really pushed them. Remember, they were a 120-point team last year, 118 this year. The Flyers pushed them with speed. Pittsburgh beat them with speed. And Pittsburgh was a coming team, probably the best team in the NHL last year for the last 50 games, 55 games. And so they ran into a buzzsaw. but it's not particularly quick on the back end. They can run into some problems there. And this is a team that has belief in itself, even though Washington handled it pretty easily at the end of the season. So, yeah, I still think Washington wins the series. But it's really fun watching the Leafs, and I can say that as somebody who lives in Montreal. It's a team that if you know, you might not root for Cigarette Boy. We all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I thought that was Steve Bannon, who, you know, he hasn't been seen in Washington lately, so I figured he painted his face with Leaf colors and was smoking that dart.
Yeah, you know what? If he didn't have the dart, he'd just be another doofus. But the cigarette, I said, you know, unlit cigarette, that's an interesting touch. Now, he has become, help me out here, I'm not good with this, a meme. Is that,
yes,
that what he is?
Yeah, that's pretty good. At least he didn't make it onto the set of The Reporters, because apparently he's done every other show in Toronto.
Yeah, you know what? I understand it. I don't get it, but I understand it, if that makes any sense. We live in a little bit of a different world than the one I grew up in and Cam Cole grew up in. In fact, you grew up.
And me. It's okay. Yep. You could throw me in there, too.
Yep.
All right, final day, final one of the day, the Boston Marathon. And, of course, they play marathon day at I don't even know who won the marathon. Who won the marathon?
Got Red it. Sox are up early.
You asked
you
me
haven't
this.
Mentioned...
I haven't put it in my updates, and I always know that it's...
That's a terrible thing.
It's
the runners all over town are pounding their fists.
It's always a name I can't pronounce. I'm like, oh,
gosh. Yeah. Well, he can't pronounce your name either, so...
Have you ever covered the marathon?
I have. I wrote a terrible story, too. I was working at the Record in New Jersey and covered my first and only marathon. I wrote a bad story because I was overwhelmed by the event. There was just too much going on. And it's one of the stories in my career that I regret. I also went down there when Jacqueline Garraud was finally given her gold medal after the Rosie Ruiz thing. We all remember Jacqueline Garraud, the Quebec runner who was cheated out of it by Subway taking Rosie Ruiz.
Yes, I do. But
actually, and Bill Lee can tell you about the Elliott Lounge. That was the great runner's lounge. The Red Sox spent a fair bit of time there, including Mr. Lee himself and the other members of the Buffalo Head tribe. So the Elliott Lounge is one of the great sports bars in America and one of the great running bars. Why I like the Boston Marathon is a million people showed up today. And in 2014, that was going to be, according to a Toronto Globe and Mail columnist, the death of marathons and public events, the bombing. People would no longer gather. People would cocoon themselves. They'd be afraid to go out in public. Well, either people have short memories or they love celebrating the 26-mile race, or it's something that they do and have been doing. And it's a great thing, and people have continued to go. And that's why we celebrate the Boston Marathon on Patriots Day. And that's why the Red Sox play an 11 o'clock game. And it's one of the great days in the sporting calendars and one of the great sporting cities of America, one I know you love, Boston.
Absolutely. And I know Joe Gagneau has actually gone down and taken part. I don't know if you know anybody yourself who has taken part, but that is actually, what was I reading? Bobby Carpenter, former
yeah.
NHLer, ran it this year?
He ran it with Dina Lang, who was the woman
right.
who was injured in the outdoor game. My favorite marathon start story involves Lee Montville, one of my writing heroes, colleague at Sports Illustrated, decided he wanted to go and run a marathon. He kind of finagled his way in. They're fairly tight standards to get in, but he knew the organizers and famous Boston Globe columnist. So he decided before the start of the race, he needed a cigarette. You know, he's like our Maple Leafs guy. So he kind of wandered off the starting line and kind of hid behind a bush where he found another guy having a cigarette. So there was a, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. No, we shouldn't. But they had their pre-race cigarette. And to hear Lee Montville tell it with his accent, nothing better.
Yeah, maybe that guy ended up at the hockey game in Washington the other night.
have a
great one, Michael.
Talk to you next week.
Fun as always, Michael Farber. What is he, Senior Sports Illustrated? What is he? Senior, semi-retired Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee. He's just one of the best.
He's the meme correspondent.
Right. All right, once again, Garland Jeffries in concert at Club Soda. Last time he headlined at Club Soda, it sold out. Friday, May the 5th, 8 p.m., his brand new album, 14 Steps to Harlem. It's the album release concert. Tickets are available at clubsoda.ca and, of course, at the box office on Saint Laurent Boulevard. Once again, he attended Syracuse University, where he got to know Lou Reed. That was our trivia question and answer, and the tickets were won by...
Yeah, Mike Yaman.
Hey!
Spittaccini from
NGG. Hey, Yaman! All right, everybody knows Yaman. We'll see you at the concert, Mike. When we come back, sports business with Lorne Rubin, and then we'll go to New York City, specifically Manhattan, and Amanda Stein will join us.
April showers.